The words of the Lord carry a twofold effect. It is both sweet and sour that we have heard in the first reading from the book of Revelation today. To the souls that yearn for the word of God and the truth that comes from Him, His words is our source of consolation, the sweetness and the affirmation of His presence and His truth in our life. But once we consume the word of the Lord and our soul internalizes it, it leaves a sour taste because it requires us to change our lives. And we don't want to change our lives. And it always leaves a sour note because the word of the Lord isn't there to affirm whatever we want to do. The word of the Lord isn't there to make us feel good about our life choices and our actions. The words of the Lord are there to challenge us to change our lives and conform our lives to Christ Jesus. That's why the words of the Lord leave a sour taste, because we don't want, our body doesn't want to accept it. But it's good for us, because it requires us to adapt to it, just like immunity, vitamin C, antioxidants, and all these good qualities. They're sour. They leave a sour taste to us, but they're good for us because they change us from within. And imagine much more than all of these antioxidants or vitamins, the words of the Lord changes us deep from within. And it make us conform our lives not only to the image of this world, but to the image that God wants us to be. And this leads us toward the gospel reading today. Jesus drove out those who wanted to make the temple into a house of thieves to commercialize the place of worship. And we see this over and over again throughout the church history. Ever since the Edict of Milan, where the Emperor Constantine legalized Christianity, the world always found a way to get into the church and to find its way to control the church. Because, as you know, the first son back in those days would get all the secular inheritance, the title, the land, the property, the rights. So the second son oftentimes get pushed into the church in order to secure ecclesiastical power as well. And this is where we see all the corruption of the past age come from. The world always finds its way to creep into the church and to make the church the place of worship, the place where we are called to conform our lives to the word of God into a den of thieves. And over again, there need to be a purification period where each and every one of us need to drive out the things that we have lessened the house of worship into something secularized, and to truly make all things new in Christ Jesus. How? Jesus taught in the temple. He spoke the truth. People listened to him. So even his enemies who wanted ill of him couldn't hurt him, because people were yearning for the truth. At the end of the day, the things that we want the church to do momentarily to be with the world will appeal in a short moment, in a short while. But it really leaves no deep impact, because the people who come to church for the appealment will leave when those appealing aspects wear short. Only those who desire the truth will stay, and those who really want to devour the word of God and change their lives will become disciples. Many people heard the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people were fed by the Lord Jesus Christ. 5,000 men and women, 5,000 men plus women and children. Many people who hang around him. But how many people actually follow him? The answer is few. So we might hear the word of God, and the word of God may be sweet in the beginning, but until we devour it and we make it ours through a life of discipleship, internalize what God wants of us and ask of us, then the word of God have no effect within us. Therefore, we need to ask ourselves, how are we cleaning our very own self, our own temple of the Lord, and also help the church to purify each and every one of us to become more perfect disciples of the truth, so that we don't follow Jesus for the appealment, for the benefits, for the things that can only be given to us momentarily, but to truly follow Him because His words set us free.